Well, it's truly good to be here, and I'm glad for the invite. Always a privilege to preach the Word of God, and I enjoy preaching it to you. If you open, I don't know what happened there. I guess we got to wake up this afternoon. But I tell you, as I look around, somebody I miss. I miss a lot from his music, and remember Brother Zinn. He would sing. He'd fill the whole hotel up, not just this room. And I really miss him. I miss listening to his music and thankful for his ministry all those years. But if you'd open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. One thing needful. Let me ask a question. This conference is on faithfulness. Is faithfulness easy? It's not, is it? All you have to do is turn to many places of the Scriptures and look at men and women that have gone before us and see that sometimes it can be very difficult to be faithful. I've been challenged. I do a lot of reading. And I like to read a lot of different things on the internet. That's not always good, but sometimes informative. But something that troubles me is how many men in the ministry we see falling today. We see a lot of people, spiritual leaders, falling. And we have to ask the questions as to why is this happening. We talked about Brother Harrison, I appreciated this morning, in emphasizing discipleship. When leadership falls, what does that do for discipleship? In many ways, it can harm it. And why is it we see so many spiritual leaders falling? Why is it we see people struggling in the ministry or just in faithfulness every day? I believe Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 kind of give us the answer, at least, to how we can keep ourselves faithful. And we see two ladies here, two women, in Martha and Mary. And I don't want to be hard on Martha today. I've heard some sermons on this that almost portray Martha in a bad light. But folks, Martha loved her Lord also. And Martha was very faithful to her Lord. It's just Martha sometimes let things get to her and she allowed there to be more distractions than there ought to be. But we see then Mary, and we see a woman who loved to sit at the feet of Jesus. She also loved to anoint the feet of Jesus. You know, an interesting character study when you look at the life of Mary and her devotion to Christ. And folks, this morning we need to be devoted to Christ. We need to be walking very, very closely to Christ. We must have that communion with Him. And I'm afraid that even as pastors and others serving in ministry full time, it is easy sometimes to let the distractions get in the way. And even we who preach the Word of God sometimes can spend so much time preparing and preaching and counseling and all the other things we do that we forget to spend quality time communing with our Lord. And I feel that's at least one of the reasons why so many men are falling from the ministry. We are forgetting to spend that quality time with Jesus Christ, to commune very intimately and closely with Him. So we have a text here this morning that this afternoon, I hope will be a challenge to us because we see the danger of distraction, but we also see the vital importance of communion or a focused devotion time with the Lord. So we want to look at Martha and Mary this afternoon and see what we can glean from this to challenge our lives and how we could stay more faithful. And I think it's a great challenge to us. So we must learn to spend quality time with our Lord. It is a vital part of our lives to commune with Him. Let me read verses 38 through 42. You follow with me, Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let us go to prayer before our Lord. Father, we thank you so much this afternoon for the opportunity to look into your word. Father, I pray you'll challenge our hearts. Help us to see the necessity of communing with your Son. And Father, help us to stay faithful. There are so many distractions in the world around us, Father. So challenge us through this text of Scripture this afternoon. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we must learn to spend quality time with our Lord. It is vital to our relationship with Him. It is vital if we're going to be faithful in these days. As we teach and lead others, and even those of you who are not in the pastorate, for your own Christian life, and if we're going to be disciples of others, we need to be faithful. We need to be walking closely with our Lord. We notice the danger of distraction. And we see that with Martha. Again, verse 38 says that now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Of course, this is Jesus and his disciples. They have been moving towards Jerusalem. Probably this is the maybe even 6 or 7 months before he goes to the cross. But definitely in that last year of opposition as he's moving towards Jerusalem, he comes to the town of Bethany. We know that through John chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So Jesus and his disciples come to this village and they come to the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now, he knew them well. They had a good relationship together. Now here's the question we don't know. Did he send somebody ahead and let them know that he was coming or did he just appear? We don't know. But you can imagine, after we see a little bit more about Martha, what was going through her mind to say, oh, here's Jesus and the disciples. I got to take care of them. We understand that she is the primary hostess here. She's the one who's responsible to make sure that everything is just right as Jesus comes to the home. To make sure that the meal's prepared. To make sure everything's just right. And Jesus and his disciples, so you got quite a crowd there that's coming to eat with them. You can imagine what's going through Martha's mind. Any one of you, especially you ladies who try to get the house ready for guests or for those visiting, you know what goes through your mind when you're trying to get a house ready for guests coming. And the different things that you have to do. And here's Martha trying to make sure that everything is just right. It says in verse 38 that she received them into her house. She brought them in to show hospitality and to take care of them. So she receives them. She has this group to minister to through the preparations of food and other things. And then verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So we're introduced to Mary, the sister. But we're about to find out that Martha is not real happy with Mary. Verse 40 tells us, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha is upset, isn't she? She feels like she is left to herself, that she's trying to get everything ready. And where's Mary? And there's Mary. She's over by the feet of Jesus. Now, again, I don't know that we can see the total picture, but I do think there's some indications here that Mary probably was serving with Martha for a while. And then she stopped and she went and sat down with Jesus. I think it's quite possible. For example, in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You see that little word also. Some of our translations have it and some do not. The manuscripts are divided on that little chi, the second chi for also. I think it belongs there. I think it's an emphasis. And it's emphasizing one of two things, and I'll tell you which one I think it is. It either means that Martha also had the habit of sitting by the feet of Jesus, which I'm sure to some degree she did. I'm sure there was times that she listened to Mary. But it could also mean that Mary also sat at the feet. She was serving with Martha, but she also then went and sat at the feet of Jesus. The Greek would allow for this. It's possible. Listen to G. Campbell Morgan. I think he has a good take on this. He says this, quote, what is the meaning of the also? It might mean that Martha sat at his feet and Mary also sat at his feet. But if it means that, the story is gone and there's no sense in it. It must therefore mean that Mary had taken her part in the service, who also sat at the Lord's feet, Martha goes on and on until she is distracted, but Mary also sat at his feet, unquote. I think that's quite possible. Because not only that, but when you go down to verse 40, one of the complaints of Martha is, she have left me to serve alone. That either means that she left me to do all the work and she was never there with her, or it means she was working with her, but she departed and went into the room with Jesus. I think, personally, that we could make a good argument that Mary was helping Martha, at least for a time. And then Mary walks away and goes into the room with Jesus. We start to get a glimpse into Martha's life. I think Martha is one of these type people that the job's never done. There's always something more to do. She wants to cook this meal for Jesus and his disciples, and she has a lot of people to deal with, but she might be one of these types that has to go the extra mile and has to have the best food on the table. Everything has to be perfect. All the table settings have to be perfect, and she's running around this, you know, over here, and then she's running around over here. She's trying to do this, then something else comes to her mind, so she's running over here. She's just one of those that gets distracted easily. Now, unless we be too hard on her, she's doing it for all the right reasons. She wants to entertain Jesus. And we honor her for that. I mean, that's a good thing. She wants to minister to Jesus in the way that she knows how to do it. But I think the problem is she gets a little too distracted. Let me ask you, especially those of you who are pastors, is it easy to get too busy? To get so consumed? Again, maybe it's counseling. Some pastors have a hard time being balanced. They spend most of their time counseling. Or they spend a ton of time visiting. Or whatever, fill in the blanks. I pastor a small church. I know what it's like to have to do much of the work. And every time you turn around, something else has to be done. I think many of you are probably that way. There is a ton of things for us to do. And after a while, we get so busy doing it all, we kind of forget about the most needful thing. As we're about to be challenged here. So Martha is getting upset. She is upset. She wants to do everything just right. There's Mary sitting in the room by the feet of Jesus. And Martha's irritated, isn't she? You notice again in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was cumbered about. She was distracted. The word means to draw from around or to draw in different ways or to drag all around. In other words, she's distracted. Her mind's going in every direction. She's trying to make sure she's doing everything just right. So she's distracted. And she's getting upset. She's cumbered about with much serving. Now again, she's cumbered about. She's distracted over a good thing. She is serving. And she's trying to serve her Lord. But through all of this, she is losing focus. And it's interesting because then it says that she came to him. If you take a look there at the Greek, it's an aggressive aorist. It almost has the picture that she comes busting into the room. She comes up to Jesus, and she's right there, and she has a complaint. So it's not like she just cordially walks up and say, Jesus, we have a problem. If we're right and it's an aggressive aorist, she comes bursting into the room and she has a complaint and she wants to complain to Jesus because Mary is not helping. So she comes to him and says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Can you imagine going up to our Lord? Do you not care? Now, there are some commentators, and I'm not sure if this is right. They try to say, basically, it's not that she's necessarily upset with Jesus or anything like that, but it's basically she just goes up and says, she's looking for Jesus to agree with her. I read that in several. I'm not quite sure I go along with that, because she does give a command to Jesus at the end of the verse. She says, bid her, therefore, that she help me. That is an imperative. She's giving a command to Jesus. Could you imagine being so distracted that you go to Jesus and first of all say, Jesus, don't you care about what I'm going through? And then secondly, Jesus, do something about it. She's getting upset. She's distracted. Her mind is being rattled, and it's giving her a little bit of a bitter attitude, and it's coming out in her actions. You notice that as she is doing this, then verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He needs to calm her down. Martha, Martha. I think it's an emphasis here. He cares about her. Martha, Martha, calm down. You are careful and troubled about many things. Again, if you take a look at the language there, you realize that as she is doing this, Jesus says, you're careful. The idea of careful is a divided mind. It's more of an anxious or a stress, kind of an inward anxiety. She's getting worked up about things. He says, not only are you careful, but you're troubled. The troubled's more of that outward. What's happening, she's troubled inside, and now it's coming out. Now she is agitated. And Jesus says, you're careful and troubled about many things. You're trying to do too much. You're trying to make everything just perfect. And Jesus doesn't care if it's perfect. Just give me something to eat, and then let's get to what's important. I mean, Jesus didn't expect her to go out of her way and make this big elaborate meal. Jesus just wanted her to understand what was important. But he says, you're getting worked up, Martha. You're troubled about way too many things. Now, we'll come back to verse 42 in a minute. We don't want to go there just yet. So we have Martha. She's distracted. She wants to please our Lord. And like I said, I don't think we want to portray too bad of a picture of her. I mean, she's a servant. She wants to do everything right for the Lord. We know she's a woman who loves the Lord. We see that in other portions of Scripture. So it's not as if Mary loves the Lord more than Martha. It's not about who loves more. Martha's already exhibited love to the Lord. She loves her Lord, but she is distracted. She has allowed things to get in the way. And folks, I think that's a great danger for us. We get so distracted. We get so busy. And it's easy for us to get agitated inside. And the problem is when we get agitated inside, it also can come out. And oftentimes in a very bad way. There's a great contrast with Martha and Mary. And Martha needs to learn that what you're doing is fine, but there's something more important, something you need to focus on more. You think of Martha, and you see her again in John chapter 11 after Lazarus dies, and she is there with Jesus. Why don't you take a look there real quick? Keep your place here, but turn over to John 11, verse 20. Martha has quite a bit of knowledge about the Lord. We don't want to paint too bad of a light of her. Verse 20 says that Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatsoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said this, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. She has probably more understanding of who Jesus is than some of the other people around. So, I mean, she is a woman who knows the Lord Jesus. She loves him. She has a great love for him. That's why she was trying to make everything perfect when he came. That's why she was cumbered about with so much work. It's not that her motives were wrong. They were good. But she just lost focus of what was important. Now we take a look at Mary. And we see with her the vital importance of communion, a focused devotion. Again, verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. It's interesting. Jesus didn't have to ask her to come sit down. She just went and sat down. Now, in that day, a rabbi would never have a woman sit at his feet. But obviously, with Jesus, that was not a problem. Jesus was the great teacher who wanted all to come to his feet and sit down. But Mary goes and she sits down. And really, the Greek there, she sits very close, very near. She sits as close as she can. And then listen, it says that she heard his word. It wasn't just the casual hearing, but she listened with attention and intent. She wanted to hear everything Jesus said. Now, how many times can we sit down, and maybe some of you here today, I hope not, you can hear what's being said. But it goes in through here, and it goes out there. You heard, but you didn't pay attention. That's different. Here, she hears, and she is there, and she has the attention that not only will she hear, she wants to do something about it. She wants to hear every word of the Lord Jesus, and she wants it to do something about it. She wants to live out the very words of Christ. She understands and paying very close attention to the Lord Jesus. So she sits down and she heard his word. Again, the construction error, she continued. She was hearing. It's an ongoing thing. She knew what was important. So she sat down to listen to Jesus. John 8:47 says, "He that is of God heareth God's words, yet therefore..." But ye therefore hear him not, because you are not of God. So here is a good illustration of he's talking to the Jews, and he says, you don't hear me. But those who know God, they hear with attention and with understanding. Mary wanted to learn from Jesus everything she could. One, they didn't know how much longer Jesus would be around. They didn't know how many times they would still see Jesus. They had to realize there was a lot of opposition against Jesus. They're close enough to Jerusalem that I'm sure they know that there's a big uproar going on over Jesus. He's in their home and she wants to learn. So she's listening. Again, verse 40, with the complaint of Martha, you might get the understanding that Mary was negligent. I don't think she was. Again, as I said earlier, I think she was helping. But she stopped. Enough's enough. The food's prepared. She's going to go sit down and listen to Jesus. She understood, folks, that that's important. Do we understand the same thing? In our busyness as pastors, and those of you who aren't pastors, but maybe teachers and doing other Christian work, are you so busy that we forget to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen? Because how else do we explain all of these people, all of these pastors, all of these Christian leaders falling? Now, I'm sure there's other things involved, but part of it has to be they're not spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question to you and to myself is, how much time are we communing with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we spending that time at the feet of Christ, so to speak, taking in the Word of God that it may change and transform us? Now, I would like to think, as I look out here, that every one of you could say, yes, I spend a daily time with the Lord. But look, I'm not so foolish to think that's necessarily true. And sometimes we as pastors can make the excuse, well, I'm in the Word of God every week preparing messages. So if I'm in the Word preparing messages, isn't that enough? No, it's not. We must take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And we must take time that we sit there and we meditate upon the Scriptures and we allow the Holy Spirit to communicate with us and to show us those areas of our life that need transformed through the Word of God. And this is what's going to keep us faithful. Because if we don't spend quality time with the Lord, we will not be faithful. And we will fall just as so many others are doing. And it's interesting because Jesus, in verse 42, now gives... is answering Martha. He started in verse 41 again, said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Verse 42 is quite a powerful verse. But one thing is needful. One thing is absolutely the most important thing. And Mary chose that good part. She chose the food for her soul, the very best part, the best dish at the table that day was Jesus Christ. She was getting all, she was trying to get it all, everything she could. She wanted to spend that time with the Lord Jesus. She understood that spiritual nourishment was much more important than physical, even though the physical is important. But folks, I wonder if the Lord, instead of saying, Martha, Martha, I wonder if we can fill our name in there at all. I wonder if the Lord is saying to us, Justin, Justin, or fill your name in, one thing is needful. Have we forgotten that one needful thing? Do we understand the most important thing is spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, folks, it is easy for us to get so busy in the ministry that we are not spending that quality time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, what Martha was doing was important. The work that we do is important. There is much work for us to do. And Martha wasn't wrong in what she was doing as far as serving the Lord, but she tried to do too much and she allowed everything to get in the way so that she was not sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I'm concerned that may be a problem of ours today. And so I pray that we are actually sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I pray even this week while we are here with the messages that we are hearing and that as the word is preached that it is transforming us and shaping and molding us more into the image of Jesus Christ. Are we a Martha or are we a Mary? You think of others who have feasted on the word. You think of some of the great ones in the Bible like a Daniel. Why was Daniel so faithful? Why was Daniel used by God? Because he spent much time with God. Study the prayers of Daniel. Boy, are they instructive. Other than Jesus, maybe some of the best prayers in the Bible are the prayers of Daniel. You see that he had a relationship with his God. He spent much time with his God. And there's many other examples we can turn to, but we could also go the other direction and say, what about Lot? Or what about Samson? Well, what about a Demas? Obviously, somewhere along the line, they weren't spending time with the Lord. They weren't spending quality time with God, communing with Him. And it wasn't a priority in their life, and it showed. But I wonder, what is our priority of life? Are we truly understanding that one needful thing? Jesus says, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She understood the importance. And she understood that spending time with Christ is most profitable. And I pray that we come to that same understanding. You see in Mary, if you trace Mary's life out, you see the devotion she had with God. Or with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look again at John chapter 12. You know the chapter where Mary anoints Jesus' feet. Let me just read down in chapter 12, verses 1 and following. As we look at the picture of Mary and her devotion. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this, for the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Here again you see a devotion of Mary. You see a devotion from Mary through every account that we have here. We see a devotion in her that we see actually I should say we don't see in many others. Can you imimagine taking this nard, this very costly ointment, probably a year's wages for the common worker, and she takes that and she breaks it open and she anoints the feet of Jesus? Of course, you saw the response of Judas. Well, folks, that takes devotion. The devotion that she would take something so costly and anoint the feet of Jesus. I like what Charles Spurgeon has to say here. He says, quote, "She thought nothing too good for her Lord. The expense was nothing in her esteem. She brought him the best she had, for her love was generous. She poured out the precious ointment with her own hands, for she desired to render him personal service. And she poured it not on his head, but on his feet, to show both her own deep humility and her Lord's superlative worth," unquote. You continuously see in Mary a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, do we have that kind of devotion? Do we take the time to spend with Him, to keep ourselves faithful? Again, I fear that we struggle to do so, and I think that's why so many are struggling to stand faithful in this day. It saddens my heart every time I read of another pastor that has fallen either into immorality or whatever else. But somewhere along the line, they forgot to spend that time with the Lord Jesus Christ. How much time do you spend with the Lord? I think that's an important question we got to ask ourselves. Obviously, it's a question only you can answer, but how much time do you honestly spend with the Lord Jesus Christ, just you and Him? Time in the Word, time in prayer? Is it something you're consistent in? And I know many of you are pastors, but I still ask the question, because it needs to be asked. I challenge myself, too, that I must be in the Word of God if I'm going to be faithful. Wouldn't you like to be like the Apostle Paul at the end of his life? 2 Timothy, a man who we know stayed very faithful. But in 2 Timothy, at the end of Paul's life, he writes this. Verse 6 of chapter 4. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Wouldn't you like to be at the end of your life and to be able to say this with absolute confidence? Paul says, I'm ready. To the best of my ability, with the Lord's help, I've been faithful. I've done what I was called to do. And we know that Paul had a devotion like Mary to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that devotion seen in our lives? Because we have children, grandchildren, church members, people we're trying to disciple. They're watching us, folks. They're watching us. And as discipleship was emphasized this morning, we're not going to be a very good discipler if we are not spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand the one thing needful? And are you choosing the best part? And that's spending personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary understood that, and she was honored in the Scriptures for that. Again, the warning is Martha was also a person who loved the Lord, but she was distracted. Are we distracted? We have allowed too much to come into our lives that we are struggling to stay faithful. That's a challenge for us, and I pray that you will contemplate these verses in Luke chapter 10 and allow them to be something we use in our devotions to really challenge us this week. Have I chosen the best thing? Am I spending that quality time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Father, we look at this simple little text here in Luke, and we see two women who love the Lord. I believe both of them were truly faithful to Him. They loved Him much. And yet, Father, we know that Martha was distracted. She allowed too much to get in the way. She was too busy. And Father, it affected her attitude, even to the point that she is giving commands to Christ. Father, I pray that we're not overburdened like Martha. And if we are, Father, I pray that you would convict and challenge us this afternoon, that we would learn to get our priority right, that we would adjust our schedules and adjust our lives so that we are spending that quality time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be more like Mary, who sees the priority of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Father, I pray that that would be our priority, that we would come to you daily in your word and in prayer and spend much time with you. And I pray that our lives will continually be transformed by your word. Father, help us, because we need to be faithful servants who stand in this day where it is difficult to stand. And I pray you would keep us faithful and strong. Father, I pray spiritually you would help us to be always dependent upon you. Challenge us this morning, Father, and help us to get our priorities correct, that we may be the pastor, the father, the mother, the discipler we need to be, that others can follow our example and realize that we are spending time with you. And we ask for this help, please, Father. Strengthen us in this, we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.